Ken Davis is a Christian comedian, and in his book, How to Speak to Youth and Keep Them Awake at the Same Time, he tells a story about the law of the pendulum. In college, he was asked to, in his speech class, give a speech that would be both memorable and creative. And so his speech was entitled The Law of the Pendulum, and he spent the first 20 minutes of his speech describing the law of the pendulum, which states that when a pendulum is released, when it falls, it will not come back to a point higher than the place which it first left because of the forces of gravity and physics. So after he'd spent 20 minutes describing this law of the pendulum, he took a string that was about 3 feet long and tied it to a child's top. And then he pinned the string at the top of the blackboard and took the top to the one side and let it go and marked where the top fell from. And each time as it came back a little bit shorter, he marked each time to prove the law of the pendulum. After doing this, and he had talked about it for 20 minutes, and he had shown the law of the pendulum, he asked the class, "Does everyone here believe in the law of the pendulum?" And everyone raised their hand, including the teacher. And the teacher began to walk up to the front of the classroom thinking that the speech was over, but it only had just begun. He then asked the teacher to get up on top of a table and sit in a chair on this table against the wall, because he had set up within the classroom a large pendulum hanging from steel beams. He had 250-pound metal weights tied up with 400-pound test parachute cords. And he took this giant metal weight of a pendulum and he pulled it up right in front of the face of the professor so that it was just right next to his nose. And while holding it there, he again shared the law of the pendulum. And after doing so, he asked the teacher, he said, "Do you believe in the law of the pendulum?" Well, there was silence for a moment. The teacher started to sweat a little bit. And then he weakly said, "Yes." Ken Davis let go of the pendulum. It swung and made a swishing noise as it went across the room and arced. And it wouldn't reach the end. It paused momentarily and started to swing back the other way. And faster than you've ever seen a man move before, the teacher dove off the table onto the floor. Then Ken Davis asked the rest of the students in the classroom, "Does he believe in the law of the pendulum?" And they all said, "No, he does not." Will you turn with me to James chapter 2, which is just after Hebrews and before 1 Peter. And we'll be looking in chapter 2, verse 14. Verses 14 through 16. And it says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? The teacher believed in the law of the pendulum, he said, but when it came down to it, he really didn't." Continuing on to verse 16. In verse 15, "If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that?" "Go in peace" was a common farewell in Jewish culture. Just like today we say to someone, "Well, take care." Basically, what the person would have said here is, "Take care, and I hope you find some food and clothes." You know, that's not going to do the person a lot of good. It's kind of like when someone trips and we say, "Oh, be careful," after they've already tripped. Or someone stubs their foot and we say, "Oh, I'm sorry you hurt yourself." It doesn't do them any good. Stanley Brown tells a story of a boy who his mother had asked him to go buy some eggs from the store. So he went to the store, he bought the eggs, and he was on his way home from the store with the eggs when he tripped and fell and the eggs broke all over the ground. The people around him saw him and they came up to him sharing their sympathies. "Oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry you broke your eggs. You know, I hate it when that happens." And then a man handed him a quarter, and then he turned to the rest of the people, the sympathizers, and said, I care 25 cents worth. How much do you care? Looking back at James in chapter 17, it says in chapter 2, verse 17, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Now, when I was studying Greek class, they didn't teach us a sarcastic case, but I'm pretty sure James was a little sarcastic when he was saying this. He says, you believe that God is one. You do well. Good for you. The demons also believe, and they shudder in fear. We believe in God, but so do the demons. They believe him to be true, but they're afraid of him. So what good does just believing do? In verse 20, But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? That faith without works is useless. Now you may be saying, wait, but in the scripture that we read this morning, Ephesians 2:8, it says that we are saved by grace. Well, why don't we go ahead and turn back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, but don't lose your place in James because we aren't done there yet. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, again it says in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Continuing in verse 9, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Oh, well, that's it. Paul's saying something different than James, so we might as well just stop there and end the sermon because he says it's just grace and not works. Okay, not really. If you continue on in verse 10, there's more to what Paul is saying. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So we are saved by grace through faith, but we are also created for good works. So James isn't saying you need to have works to be saved, but he's saying that your faith must be accompanied by works, because we are also created for good works. Let's go back to James in chapter 2 again, and verse 21. And it says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Now, you can read about the story of Abraham offering up Isaac in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 18. But God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, go and sacrifice your only son Isaac for me so that I know you will believe. And Abraham didn't say, okay, God, if you really were serious, then I'd do that because I believe in you and I have faith in you. No. Abraham got up. He took his stuff, he went to the mountain with his son, told the servants to wait there, went up to the mountain, prepared the altar, and he got ready to sacrifice his son. And the only thing that stopped him from sacrificing his son to God was God saying to him, stop. You have shown me your faith. Through your actions, you have shown that you believe in me. And in verse 22... it says, you see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. So Abraham's faith was shown through his works. Now, if God had not told Abraham to sacrifice his son, and Abraham had decided, you know, I think I should show God how much I believe in him, and I'm going to go sacrifice my only son to him, that wouldn't have been a good thing. God would have considered that a sin, and we probably would look at Abraham pretty differently today. In fact, he would be one of the examples in the Bible as for those things that we should not do, not a great man of faith. Or, if God had told Abraham to do that, and he had not done it, he had said, "Well, God, I believe in you, but I don't think you really want me to sacrifice my son, so I'm not going to do that," then we would have no idea the strength of Abraham's faith today, because he would not have shown it to us. Continuing on in James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.'" So Abraham's works, coupled with his faith, showed that he believed in God, showed out his faith, and he was called righteous because of that. Not that he was a righteous man, but that he acted out his faith in righteousness. And in 24 it says, "You see that a man justified by works and not by faith alone, in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way?" Now you may be thinking, well, Abraham was a man of strong faith in God. You know, he was really close to God. God had him do a lot of things, and he even had him go to a place where he had never seen before to live and uproot his whole family. But I don't have the faith of Abraham, so I can't show my faith in what I do. Rahab, who was a harlot, she believed in what the Israelites were doing and believed in their God, so she hid the spies on her roof so that they wouldn't be killed. Now, yes, she lied, and she did not have a good life. She wasn't the perfect example of a Christian. But she acted out her faith in that of what she knew of God. And she knew that God was a person she should believe in. And so she acted out what she knew in her faith and what she could do by hiding the Israelites on the roof. So we may not have the faith of Abraham, but we still should act out the faith that we have in the ways that we can. And the last verse here in this section, verse 26, says, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." Spirit, in reference to the body, is the breath of life. So without breath, our bodies are dead. If we go longer than 4 minutes without oxygen, we die. And breath is a symbol of us being alive. And James says here, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." If our faith, if we don't act it out, if we don't do anything with our faith, it dies, because the breath of our faith is the things we do to show that faith. So if we aren't doing anything with our faith, then it's dead. It dies. But James isn't the only place where it talks about faith in the Bible. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, you may have heard before, many times is referred to as the faith chapter. And there are many examples of other people acting out their faith in Hebrews in chapter 11. In verse 4 it says, "Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain by faith." In verse 5, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death." In verse 7, "By faith Noah built an ark for God." "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive an inheritance." In verse 11, "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive." Verse 17, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son." Verse 20, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding these things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones." Verse 24, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to call the son of Pharaoh's daughter." And there are many more things that goes on to say that people did, things that people did because of their faith. It doesn't say by faith they thought this, or by faith they believed that, but by faith they did. But what can we do with our faith? Is it going to the homeless shelter and serving soup, or helping someone cross the street? I can't tell you what you should do with your faith, and you can't tell me how I should act out my faith. Because God is, we each have our own faith in God. And our actions stem from that faith. You know, maybe your faith is doing the chores your parents have asked you to do, or maybe for those of us who are in school, our faith, acting out our faith is completing the assignments given to us. Maybe acting out our faith is telling someone we'll pray for them when we know they're going through something, or maybe acting out our faith is sharing the gospel with someone that we know is hurting, but we're too afraid to tell them about the faith that we have. God has given us all a measure of faith. He even said that if you had have the faith the size of a mustard seed, if you say to this mountain, mountain, move, it will move. But so many times today, we're too afraid to act out our faith, and our faith dies. You know, there's a quote from DC Talk in one of their songs that says, "The greatest cause of atheism today is Christians, because Christians have problems acting out their faith." James here was speaking to the church at that time when he said that your faith is worth nothing if it doesn't have works. But that applies to us still today. If we do not act out our faith, then it is dead. And I challenge you to act out your faith. I don't know what that is for you, what God has called you to do, but whatever he has called you to do, don't just believe it, but act out that faith that he has given you. Lord, I pray that we will be what you want us to be. Lord, is that we go from this place today that we remember that you have given us eternal life through the grace in our faith. But Lord, I pray that we will act out that faith for you and that you will show us the way that you want us to live. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.